Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Thanks, Josiah. Well, we've arrived. I don't know how we got here, but we are here, the final service of the year, and Christmas is in 4 days' time. So, show of hands, who is cruising into Christmas Day? You are so organized. You've been organized for weeks. Well done. Who's the opposite? Who is racing after this service to Carindale? Well, good luck. Good news is I won't keep you long and you can race off and do the important things. But so many of us were here at the beautiful carol service last week, thanks to the incredible team who did that. And then prior to that, as we led into the Christmas season, we had Pastors Az and Josiah share with us around who it was that went to see Jesus. The shepherds to see the good shepherd, the kings to see the King of Kings. And whilst they were so different, we saw that they understood the same thing. They understood the awe and the wonder that is found solely in the presence and worship of God. And for me, in the lead up to Christmas, we've been reading our boys the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's a favorite. And I love how the author writes it to the kids, but it's for us as well. She says, "The Bible is a story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. And it takes the whole Bible to tell the story. And at the center of the story is a baby. And every story in the Bible whispers his name." And I thought that was just so beautiful. So this morning, we're going to look at another one of those whispers. We're going to look at how we, all different, can experience the profound truth that Christmas offers. And that is Emmanuel, God with us. The simple and beautiful meaning of Christmas, where in the middle of the night, God himself enters the world. So this morning, let's look at Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus." Did you catch the whisper? Did you notice how in verses 22 to 23, Matthew is inspired by the Holy Spirit to make something really clear, I think, to the readers then and to us today? First, the meaning of Emmanuel. He literally writes, which means God with us. Now, I'm no Bible scholar like you guys are, but I would so appreciate a little bracket throughout Scripture, because so often we're left to discover what these words mean. But I noticed that Matthew, he didn't do that. He paused and told us exactly what it means. And second, we see Matthew making it really clear that what the prophet said, and we know that prophet is Isaiah, is in fact about Jesus. These are two details that Matthew didn't rush over, and I don't think the Holy Spirit wants us rushing over either. But why? It's because in Jesus' time and for generations to come until us today, there's been debates around who Jesus was. There's been misunderstandings and false doctrines about who Jesus was. And Matthew's saying, no, no, I'm going to make this super clear. Jesus is the Messiah. This baby born is the Son of God. And why were the religious leaders, 33 years later, wanting to kill Jesus? For that very reason. It was Jesus' claim to be the Son of God, which makes him equal with God. And this is a big deal. It was then, and to be honest, it still is today. And maybe we need to be reminded this morning of what a big deal this is. Jesus is the Son of God, and he came on that night. Maybe even for some of you this morning, you've grown up. Oh yeah, Christmas, it's Jesus' birthday, baby Jesus, happy birthday, Jesus. You do the things in school. But maybe you've never stopped to pause yourself and think, who is this Jesus and why do they celebrate? As I said, who Jesus was something fiercely debated. We see it in Scripture. Jesus asked himself, who do you say I am? Who do they say I am? Some say merely a man, which is probably just the most insulting thing that you could say about Jesus. Some say a prophet. Some today say he can't be God because he became a man. But Jesus didn't lessen his divinity by becoming a man. Because we remember in Genesis, in the very beginning, humanity was created in God's image. Humanity was never the issue. Sin is. Humanity was made to reflect the very image of God. So on that very first Christmas, we see God coming down and humanity lifted high in Christ through the birth of Jesus. And God with us is the very beginning of the restoration of humanity to the Heavenly Father. Now that is the joy of Christmas. It's the go. And we can see now why it was so important for Matthew to explain the meaning of Emmanuel. This wasn't a metaphor. Jesus isn't like God. This wasn't an expression of God. No, God himself was with humanity in a new way. Matthew in verses 22 to 25 explains that all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. And if we turn to what Matthew is referring to there, it's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And it's really interesting to see where this is found in Scripture or where it's not found. It isn't found in a time of victory or peace for God's people. Rather, the context of this verse is found in a time of corruption, sin, disobedience, distrust of God. I'm not sure if you've read Isaiah, especially the first half. It's not an easy read. It is not a great time. I've skimmed it. It was a time of war and corruption where we see the habits of God's people playing out over and over again. And at the time, the king, King Ahaz, had a decision to make which side he was going to choose in the war. But essentially, the decision was to trust God or to not trust God. And this is where we see this prophecy, this promise of a baby occurring. And it's because King Ahaz disobeys God, essentially through his unbelief, and goes, no, no, I'm not going to put you to the test, God. I'm not going to ask you for a sign. So God himself says, well, I'll give you a sign. And it's not just going to be for you, but it's going to be for the whole house of David, which we know is the family line that Jesus comes. Now, hindsight is great. We're a people of the new. We get the whole Bible. We can easily, confidently say, well, duh, that's what Isaiah was talking about. But the people at the time, that promise of a baby in a time of war, they weren't thinking, oh, no, that's not for now. That will be 700 years for the Messiah. No, for them, it was a current promise in real time. But when we look at the parallels to the story in Isaiah and to the time that Jesus was born, we can see it because Jesus was born in a time of political disruption, uncertainty. But it's interesting what the answer is to both situations. It's not strategy, it's not plans. It's the same answer, and it's the presence of God. And maybe you're thinking, well, that's great for the people who were around when Jesus was around, but what about us? But the good news is that when Jesus returned to heaven after he died and rose again, God didn't stop being with us. And we see a beautiful promise in John 14, verses 15 to 18. If you love me, Jesus speaking, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I don't know about you, but that is one of the most favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. Jesus himself, that he hasn't done enough. He could have died, rose again, gone back to heaven and said, I will see you there if you believe my words. But he didn't. That would have been enough. But he didn't. He tells us, no, you can have heaven on earth, and I'm going to enable you to bring that down by myself still being with you through the sending of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, man, I will not leave you as orphans. And in verse 20, we read, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you and me, and I in you. Doesn't that bring you great joy this morning? How grateful we are for the Holy Spirit, God himself with us. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus those years later and the sending of the Holy Spirit, we, all different, thousands of years later, can experience Emmanuel, God with us, not just December 25. Every single day. And I have to be honest, we just prayed for our country, and I've obviously written these notes prior to what happened in Bondi. And I said to God, gosh, I just reflected on what I was saying a little bit. But I sensed the Holy Spirit say, nope, there's no better time to tell and be reminded of who Jesus is and that he is with us and he is with those who are hurting. He is with us. So on that first Christmas, God chose to be with us. So this Christmas, will we choose to be with him? Scripture tells us that the shepherds, they went without delay. The wise men, the kings, they traveled for at least 2 years. He was a toddler by the time they got there. But we see the response to the presence of God is ourselves being present with him. So what could that look like? What could being present with Jesus look like in the coming days? For some, it's giving God your time. And I know anything but our time. I don't know about you, but I'd take anything but my time, especially the next 4 days. I get it. We're racing around. But as I mentioned, the last couple of weeks through Beacon Care, whether it was the hub or the mental health ward, God gave us the chance to pause, to sit, and to listen. In the busyness of unpacking your incredible generosity, I felt like Josiah needing more admin plans at youth camp when the miracles come in. I thought, I need 3 stages to stack the sleigh next year. Heads up. But it was busy, and it was wonderful busy. Our busyness is good. It's full of good things, right? But God gave us the opportunity to sit and pause and be with people. So maybe God's asking you to be present with him through your time. And yes, God loves when we give him our time personally. But I think another way that we can outwork that is by giving people our time, especially those that we may not normally give. Maybe it's still reading your Bible and all of the busyness, or maybe it's remaining gracious and patient at the shops for those who are heading there now. But maybe for some of us, he's calling us to be present with him in a deeper way. Maybe it's opening your door to someone you normally wouldn't this Christmas. Maybe it's praying for that family member that makes Christmas Day a little challenging. We don't have that. We don't have that. All these nervous laughs in the room. Oh, that was good. Maybe it's affording forgiveness. Or maybe, for whatever reason, it's letting go of what you thought Christmas was or had to look like. Out of that list for me, like I said, we don't need to pray for anybody in our family. So out of that list for me, it was letting go of what I thought Christmas was or had to look like. You know, we see those little countdowns in December start popping up everywhere. You know, at gym, at work, on social media, this many days. My house is full of them. We've got lolly advent, chocolate advent, paper chains. Apparently there's only 2 days left of Christmas, according to Jude. I think he might have eaten too many chocolates. Anyway, there's countdowns happening everywhere. But to be honest, it also triggers another countdown for me. And it doesn't bring this anticipation that usually swirls around Christmas time. To be honest, the countdown brings the wave of grief a little closer. 3 years ago, like I said, I had to let go of my idea of Christmas, because what felt like out of nowhere, and it kind of was out of nowhere, my dad became extremely unwell. There's tears, but I'm okay. My dad was in hospital for a week, and we thought, oh, he's never unwell. He's in hospital for a week, the best people, they'll work it out. This is all going to be okay. Then one night, I got a call. Still remember it, a Wednesday, 10 o'clock. My dad needed to be placed into an induced coma. My dad was in ICU in a coma, and the doctors didn't know why. Talk about a time of uncertainty. This is happening in front of us, and nobody can tell us why. So those 3 weeks, they were filled with uncertainty every single morning. We gripped onto hope. We attempted to find peace in what felt like a storm. And I'll tell you, you can find the peace in Jesus. As the world around me was being filled with joy, carols are playing, decorations are going up, Christmas parties are happening, lights are going up. The light around me in that hospital room, it was growing very dim. And I recall those weeks, conversations with family, but what about Christmas? What about Christmas Day? And we just held on to the thought, oh, it's going to be fine. That's still a long time away. Dad will be awake then. Maybe we'll just bring the Christmas lunch, Mum will make the ham, and we'll still bring it to the hospital at least. We'll still be together, because Christmas doesn't need to change, because it can't. And I remember my six-year-old son, Louis, at the time, he realized one night, I still remember it, I was in the kitchen, he comes out to me, and he has tears in his eyes. He said, oh, Pa's going to miss out. Pa's going to miss out on the presents. Pa's going to miss out on Christmas ham. Pa's going to miss out on Nan's trifle. And you could see his little heart was breaking as he realized of what Pa was going to miss out on. Because that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? And Louis had gone shopping for his pa at the Christmas stall at school. Many parents in the room would know depends what school you go to, but mine, it has a bunch of random things. We're not at Redlands College with the fancy things. I see what my friends get, and it's not what I'm getting, I tell you what. Side note, I just had to express that. But maybe that's why you pay the fees and I don't. But anyway, you get these stalls, Mother's Day, Christmas, what have you, and you just picture your kids. They're looking around the stalls and they see that not so pretty koala looking tea towel and that stale bag of popcorn, and they look at it and it's so sweet because, you know, they go, that is the perfect present for my mum. That is exactly what she needs. And they are. And the ones that we treasure the most, the popcorn, the tea towel, it's still in my drawer, and sometimes I'll hang the other stuff out behind the door. So my Louis, he went to that Christmas stall and he was looking around and he saw a soap on a rope. And it said, Dad, in capital letters. And he looked at that soap on a rope and he said, that is the perfect present for my pa. And it was the perfect present for his pa. But I remember taking the dad soap on a rope, because you never know what to do in these situations. I took it with me to our hospital visit on Christmas Day, but I didn't get to give it to my dad. We never got to take the lunch like we thought we would. My dad wasn't awake like we thought he was going to be. Our Christmas Day had changed. And I remember thinking, maybe every other Christmas Day is about to change. And sadly, just 3 days after Christmas, I got another call. And it was time to say goodbye to my dad. And I want to pause there, because I feel like some need to know or be reminded of how big, how wide, how deep the grace of God is on your life. And I say that because I know it, because I'm standing here doing something that I didn't think I'd be able to do. In 7 days' time, I'll be celebrating the anniversary of my dad's passing. But by God's grace and for his glory, I stand here. And by his grace and for his glory, you can stand and you can walk through whatever it is that you are standing in and walking through. He is for you and he is with you in this season. And I remember thinking, surely this can't happen at Christmas. It's Christmas, not at this time of year. And maybe for some of you sitting here in the final service of the year, just like I was, when everyone seems like they're on top of the world, yours might feel like it's crushing down. I had a choice like you did this morning to still come, and you have. And I had that choice when my dad was in that coma to still come on that final service of the year. And I can encourage you, just like I did, I came and I got prayer. There is a team that wants to pray with you. So if you need an infilling this morning, if you need the peace of God upon you before you head into the next few days, I encourage you, come and get prayer. Come and tell somebody. And the peace of God will guard your heart and he will be with you, because he promises to be with you. But what I learned in that time and hope to share with you this morning is that there is a big difference between someone who does Christmas as someone of the world and how you do Christmas as someone who follows Jesus. And they are two different things, because Christmas is all about joy, right? Except joy is distorted to the world. Christmas is distorted to the world. Christmas to the world is great friends, good food, family, parties, ham. And all of those things are wonderful. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, God tells us what Christmas truly is, and it's Emmanuel, Him with us. So I pray that this will bring comfort to those hearts who need comfort today. The joy of Christmas isn't the number of people that you have around your table, the amount of presents you get or give. And it can be cliche what I'm saying. Oh, you know, it's just the spirit of Christmas. And we say it is. But what happens when it's shaken? What happens when finding joy isn't easy? What happens when that family member isn't there? When all the things are stripped back, does the saying, the spirit of Christmas, remain true? Because it needs to be the Holy Spirit of Christmas, or everything else can fall away. The joy of Christmas is Jesus coming into the world, being born a baby, and hitting go on the redemption of all mankind. So anywhere that you find yourself this Christmas season, the profound reality of Emmanuel will supersede it all. When what I knew about Christmas changed, when carols and decorations and all of the things that only occur at Christmas time are gone, when they remind my heart and my body of loss, and it won't always be that way, but when the Christmas traditions that I knew, my dad keeping the little bonbon hat on till the very end of the night, and I never thought that National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation could actually make me cry tears of sadness, but it does, and I can't watch it yet, but maybe one day I will. And those traditions were gone, and I begin to make new ones. In all of that, I discovered a truth that I knew, that I've heard, that I've received, but I experienced it in a new way, that God is with me. Surely this can't happen, doesn't need to be the language of a believer. Because Christmas is the very place that Jesus is. So if you've found Him, you have found Christmas. But would He be found in ours? Just as Jesus chose to come to me and to the entire world on that night, I have a choice to come to Him. And especially in that time of pain. But as He promises, I did find Him right there. And what do I mean by that? Well, I found God across those weeks as I stayed in my Bible and held onto it with my entire being. And every morning, He'd give me something tangible to hold onto. I found God when each night I didn't think I'd be able to sleep, but I did. Do you know, every night, sometimes I didn't want to pray, because that would make it real. So you know what I did? I would repeat, Jesus, 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 out aloud on my pillow until I fell asleep. And He gave me sleep. It's pretty uncommon in those weeks to be able to say, how are you doing? How are you sleeping? I'm actually sleeping fine. There's power in His name. And I found Jesus through you. I found Jesus through community, through the times, the texts, the prayers, people checking on me. I saw God at work. I saw Him when someone in this church who works at the same hospital would find the time on their shift to come be with me. And say nothing, but simply be with me. And I'm sure many of you will shake your head when I say that we find Jesus in the most unexpected of places, including pain. Why? Because Jesus himself showed up in the most unexpected of places. A feeding trough, a manger where animals are kept, displaced. It would have stunk. If we were writing the Christmas story, we wouldn't write him there. He'd be in a little golden trough and his little golden cube and his little aircon would be set to the perfect temperature. If your Kaz, the essential oils would be in the diffuser. He's a king, right? But we know God writes different stories. Mary and Joseph urgently searching for somewhere to stay when every other relative has already put their stuff down at every other house. Jesus being born in a manger. None of this was a surely this can't happen moment for God. Jesus was found exactly where he was meant to be. The middle of the night, that bright star shone, and it's shining over your Christmas too. In the most unexpected or painful or quiet of nights. And Jesus being born in a manger is just the start of him showing up in the most unexpected of ways. In fact, most of or his entire life was unexpected. If you read the Gospels, I honestly think it was Jesus' favorite thing to do was to be unexpected. Jesus was with the Samaritan woman at the well. He shouldn't have even passed by her town. Jesus was found with sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. Jesus washed the dirty, grubby feet of his disciples. It's pretty unexpected. And Jesus was found teaching in a temple at 12 years old. And those are only a few ways. So if you find yourself confused, without or lonely, or this Christmas simply isn't what you expected, Isaiah 9, verse 6 reminds us of why we celebrate. This is just a few chapters after we read earlier. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And you can find the Prince of Peace no matter what your Christmas season looks like. And what's so interesting is that how Jesus did his very first miracle was in the most unexpected of ways. At a wedding, turning water into wine. And I don't know about you, but for me, it kind of shows me that Jesus loves a party. And he loves when you celebrate him. He loves that you are celebrating with ham and food and friends and family and music and decorations and lights because he wants to bless you. He wants you to celebrate. He wants you to enjoy this Christmas. Have the party. But just don't forget to invite the guest of honor to yours. So how can we invite Jesus to the party this Christmas day? There are so many ways. Here are a few that came to my mind. Take a prayer walk. After you've opened the presents, and if you're lucky, if you've got to sleep in till 5 a.m., before you race to the next event and jump in the car, go for a walk and thank God for the day. Veer off your Bible reading plan and read the Christmas story. See what the Bible actually says about it. When you give grace, when you say grace and you give thanks for your ham and prawns, pray for those whose tables may not be as full as yours or who don't even find themselves around one. Ask God for wisdom before you go to that family lunch. And simply pray, Lord, help me be with you as you are with us. So as I said, I'm still adjusting to what Christmas looks like. But for me, I think I'm going to take that walk. And when I do, and when I look up, I'm going to be reminded of who came down for me.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.